I'm Kier from In Defense Of, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello and welcome to episode 77 of Better Podcasting. On today's show, we're going to debrief about my experience at Indiana Comic Con.
In this week's Better Podcasting Download, we've got information about a massive podcast industry change, one that might change all of your voice work.
And finally, in our Better Podback, we've got some listener feedback on conferences.
Plus a very interesting email from a video viewer. This is episode 77 of Better Podcasting.
Welcome to Better Podcasting, a show where we talk about podcast tips, tools, and best practices to help you succeed with your podcast. What makes us different? Well, just like you, we podcast purely out of the love and fun of it. Podcasting is our hobby, and we recognize that it's yours too. We always encourage your questions and feedback, and you can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. Here's your host for the show, Stephen John Drew and Stargate Pioneer.
Yes, we are back with another episode of Better Podcasting. I am Stephen John Drew, and with me is, of course, the wonderful, the insert random name here, Stargate Pioneer.
Please call me SP or Star Pie or whatever you want to, actually. And it's another great week for Better Podcasting. I'm excited to do this recording because I love recording Better Podcasting. That's why we do this. We are so passionate about this. This is a topic that we just have to talk about, which is why we created this whole podcast, this whole video thing, this entire studio backdrop that is for this podcast. That's why we're so passionate about it. We just gotta get it out.
We do, and boy has it been a crazy week. And if you're not familiar, we usually record this on Fridays at geeks.live. That is our landing live page of our network that we're part of, Gunna Geek Network. And you check that out. We're often there on Fridays, but sometimes things come up and they change a little bit. But check out the calendar there and watch us on Twitter and Facebook, and we'll tell it all about it. If you want to come by and chat with us there. We also do a video companion, if you weren't familiar with that. That's right. You might be hearing us in audio form, but if you want to see our ugly mugs, I know I'm upselling it greatly, right? You could check that out. There is a video companion, the full show. I edit it. Just everything you hear on the audio side of things, you see the same on the video, except with our shining faces. There, was that better, SP?
Gleaming, shining faces, yes. Yeah, we like to smile, we like to show our teeth, and we like to show the lighting, the great lighting we have in our studios.
Yes. But if you just want to check us out in audio version, we do encourage you to subscribe to us through your favorite podcast app. And we want to solicit this question from you, this feedback. What app do you use to subscribe to your podcast? Because this is something a lot of people use, the Apple Podcast app, the whatever they call it on the iOS, if you're on iOS. But Android, it seems like a lot of people aren't sure what to use on Android. So we want to know, what is your selected podcast app? And I'll just give you a little bit of information. I'm doing this selfishly because I just switched from Beyond Pod to Pocket Cast, and honestly, I got problems with both of them. So I want to know, what are you using if you're an Android listener to subscribe to your podcast? And if you're an Apple listener, please tell us as well, because there's a lot of Apple listeners. You can get in touch with us through a variety of different ways, including you can tweet us at BetterPod. You can find us at facebook.com/BetterPodcasting or email podcast at BetterPodcasting.com. SP, which app do you use?
It's a great question. I use the podcast app for the most part, but since that syncs up with iTunes somehow, and I haven't quite figure out exactly what the sync is, if I'm just checking out one episode that I don't want to disappear from my podcast streams the next time I sync up my iPod, I use Overcast. Matter of fact, Overcast would probably be my primary podcatcher if I didn't have the iPods. For those unfamiliar, I use an iPod at work because I'm able to bring it into work and I'm able to listen to podcasts. I use an iPod Classic, 120 gigabyte version, so plenty of audio to listen on there. And in the gym, I use an iPod Nano 7th generation, and I just like that. It also enables you to speed up podcasts. So in the gym, where I should be getting the heart rate up, I listen at 2x speed on the iPod Nano. So I do use podcasts from that aspect, the podcast app from that aspect. But when I'm just checking out a show, or maybe I'm special downloading a show that I want to quick listen to and then listen to at length later, I use Overcast. And I am partial to Overcast personally.
I gotta say, one thing that I liked about Pocket Cast is there's an option in there to remove silences. Now, you gotta be aware that any time that you're using something to edit somebody else's product, essentially, that's what you're doing, is real-time editing of someone's product, you're changing the way they wanted you to see it. But a lot of people are fine with that. They were okay with sort of the abrupt, random removal of silences and stuff. But it was a neat little feature, and it's one that I could see a lot of people really using, because it actually keeps a count as well of how many it's removed, and you can specify the length. So cool little thing, but again, not totally satisfied with it. So please do get in touch with us and let us know. But let's go ahead and move into a special How I Saved My Podcast story. Yes, if you're not familiar with this segment, it's called How I Saved My Podcast. What it is it's a segment we like to do where we have people share their story about how they saved their podcast. This is all about communal learning, and this week we are happy to say we had one listener tell us a little bit about something going on with their podcast. Let's turn it over to the listener. Hi, my name's Stephen John Drew. No, I'm just joking. I am indeed the one that's going to share the How I Saved My Podcast story this week. It is something that SP shared a story last week about how his podcast had a bit of a tailspin, and he had to go ahead and fix that, and I got jealous, and so I broke my podcast too. And that's what happened on the official GunnaGeek.com show. This is actually a very interesting story with, I'm going to call it, years of buildup, because it might be related to Windows 10. That's right. Weirdly, over the last few weeks with the Gunna Geek show, I have had something happening, and it is a very full video show just like this one here, but I have been having some weird anomalies come up. Now, it might be related to Windows 10. It could be related to a piece of hardware. I don't know. All I know is since I started moving to Windows 10, trying it again, I've had a couple of weird issues. And what happened was partway through my episode of the GunnaGeek.com show, my sound dropped out, and we do it live, and we had our chat start saying, hey, guess what? The sound's not working. And that was not good, because it was working and then it was not working, to which I'm like, okay, let's go ahead and try to stop this. And I tried to stop this, and guess what? My XSplit had froze, and I went and I had Audacity running, and I went and I tried to record on the sound card that is essentially the mix down of our podcast. And as soon as I hit record, it froze. I went into the sound card panel. As soon as I opened up the sound card, it froze. So obviously this was a sound problem, and my whole computer was froze, and I couldn't get things stopped. Now this is a problem, because the video show is actually a fairly large side of the GunnaGeek.com show. I would say it's more important over there than it is even here. And I was worried, because it was like, well, what's going to happen? Is my video going to crash? But just like SP said last week, I had the live streams going, so I knew I could definitely use those if I wanted to, and I could pull that and download that video and resort to that if I wanted. It wouldn't be as clear, but I could definitely do that. So I go ahead, and here's the kicker, is I wasn't about to chance it again, because again, these problems only started with Windows 10. when I made my change to Windows 10, I had heard about some of the podcaster problems, and a lot of people will tell you that it's solid, and I'm going to disagree with them wholeheartedly there. It is way better than it was, but I have still seen so many weird anomalies with weird things that I will disagree strongly with anybody who says Windows 10 is as stable as 8.1. You can't use that blanket statement, in my opinion. So what I did was, when I did that, I actually had a second drive sitting by that I was able to keep my Windows 8.1 installation on. So what I did was quickly reboot, went into Windows 8.1, and finished off the show there because I had it all ready to go. And I knew it was going to be stable, and it was. So then it comes to editing time. And I went to try to see if I could pull up that video file from XSplit. XSplit is the software that I use to do all of this crazy video stuff. And it's the thing that actually records the video. And guess what I found, SP?
You found you couldn't load it.
That's absolutely the truth, because it was apparently corrupt of some form. Now, you could open it up and it would play a few seconds, but then it would stop. But I couldn't get it into any video editing software. So I tried to run it through Handbrake. It didn't work. I tried to run it through a bunch of different things. It didn't work. To which I thought, I can't be the first one who's had this happen. Had a video crash halfway through. And I got on the almighty Google, because Google knows everything. And sure enough, if you use the video software XSplit, as I know some of our listeners do, I've had conversations with people who have told me they use XSplit. There is a built-in recovery feature that I discovered in the section that shows you all of the recordings of XSplit, all of the things that I've created, all the videos I've created. I can go in and I can select a video, and I can right-click on it and say repair. And what did it do? It repaired. It fixed it in seconds. It was like, basically, I right-click, done. And sure enough, it worked from there. So obviously, I'm guessing the file just wasn't finished properly, to get technical. But I wanted to share this story because I thought for sure that I was going to have to use a backup, which I was okay with. Then I discovered that I was able to repair it, which was cool. And I didn't have this knowledge before I ran into this problem, so I consulted Google. And I want to encourage people, if you ever run into this issue, reach out to somebody, ask. Don't be afraid to ask, or Google, because you might find it. And SP has talked about this before, how he has been able to recover Zoom H6 tracks as well. There is a lot of ways. If you've got any form of a file there, there might be a way to save said file. There might not, but there might be. And this is another example on how I was able to save my podcast.
Yep. A couple of things. It turns out that recovering a deleted file from an SD card is surprisingly easy. You have to download some software in order to help do it. Windows 10 won't do it, but that can work as well. That'll be a future episode of this segment, How I Saved My Podcast Story. And another thing, Stephen didn't talk about it at all, but in the middle of all this happening, we kept the live stream going. And guess who had to talk the entire 15 minutes that the live stream was going, and nobody else was on, because Stephen broke the bridge when he rebooted. There was no Chris. There was definitely no Stephen. It was just SP for 15 minutes entertaining the live crowd. And after that, I told Stephen, I'm spent, dude. You guys got to talk for a while because I just need a rest. Surprisingly, being a podcaster, you need a rest after talking for 15 minutes and just riffing for 15 minutes. I had nothing prepared, nothing at all. So no. That is saving the live stream as well. It was a unique day, and I hope it is never repeated.
No. Well, thank you very much for that, and I'm glad you shared that half of the story, because it was a very big half of the story, and I absolutely want to encourage people to have trust in your peers. They will bail you out. When you have something go wrong, they'll pick you up out of the mud and dust you off, and that's what SP did. So thanks for that, SP. You made a stressful situation slightly less stressful for me.
Anything I could do for the benefit of the GunnaGeek.com network.
Well, speaking of stressful situations, let's find out what sort of stress you had at Indiana Comic Con. Yes, that's right. This is the third installment of our convention or event arc. And why would we do anything else but wrap it up by getting an actual debrief by Stargate Pioneer? That's right. We've talked about it before. SP did go to Indiana Comic Con a couple of weeks ago, and he actually did a podcast panel, a panel about podcasting with Michelle Ealy, and we wanted to give a bit of real-world learning debrief information about that. And we're going to give you the backstory here. Now, if you're not familiar with it, SP also participated in a panel at C2E2, another convention, last year on podcasting. And we actually shared some of that audio on this very show. And we've talked about some things that we would change. Now, SP prepared for that with Indiana Comic Con. And we want to really just highlight the changes that we've made and talk about whether they were worth it, whether or not we would change other things. And, again, let's be honest. This is Better Podcasting starring Stargate Pioneer, so the more that we can shape the content to be about him, the more satisfied that he is.
And it's all about my satisfaction, absolutely. Listen, if you're a longtime listener of Better Podcasting, I did the C2E2 panel last year. I had some issues with how that panel went down and how we captured it, how we recorded it. The panel itself was great. We had 6 longtime experts, very interactive with the crowd. We did a lot of promotion beforehand, and we had a packed room. So it all worked out. So I had to make some changes, though, for the capture of the panel. And that's why I went out, and we talked about this 2 episodes. I went out and got an additional H6. I didn't really need to get an additional Zoom H6. I could have taken the one that I have mounted in the studio, but I just didn't want to mess with unmounting it anymore. It was a personal choice that I made because I had the extra couple $100 laying around. It was a pre-owned one. It is not a brand new one. So I did that. Another thing that I did, and this is based on other panels that I saw that they were capturing it, I got a hold of several Sennheiser MD46 interview microphones because I thought that they would isolate the sound a lot better than any other microphone would, and we'd gather better sound than we did last year at C2E2. So that was cool. We talked about that 2 weeks ago. I also ended up scoring a shotgun microphone for the H5. This is the SGH-6 shotgun microphone. Talked about that 2 weeks ago. And also an additional H5, which I already had, to go with the video. And I actually went out and got a video camera, the Canon HF R700. And that would entail 1080 video. It was the right choice. And then I got a mount to do a hot shoe mount for the shotgun microphone in the H5 over the camera. So talked about that 2 weeks ago. If you want to see that gear all assembled, go back to Better Podcasting number 75. So that was what happened. And let's talk about game day. So we did all the great preparation, but we got to the venue and we found that the room was equipped with a projector and an HDMI input to the projector on the actual presentation panel. So I'm thinking, oh, this would have been great to know because I would have put stuff together for it. Fortunately, we did 3 panels that weekend. The first one was right when the con opened, Friday afternoon, 2:00. And the early con goers came in, and the people that were really interested in podcasting, they came in. And we had a great first panel. It was interactive and people wanted to be there. People just don't come into your panel just to sit down and take a nap. They're there because they want to be there. And Friday, they definitely wanted to be there. And so we had a prepared presentation, a talk that we were going to give. We made it interactive and that was great.
And I want to point out here that that was a common thread between both C2E2 and Indiana Comic Con. You showed up and found that there was different things within the room, couldn't get any room information in advance. And that's just one of the great examples. We talked about it a couple episodes ago of game day learning that will happen. And you just can't prepare for it. And you got to roll with that. And what SP decided to do when he saw that was he went and he took out his old trusty cell phone. He took a selfie. And then he ended up actually posting his picture on the projector.
I did. And it was great because everybody just wanted some more SP. No, no. What happened was I messaged Steven and I said, dude, you got 30 minutes because we went and looked at the room beforehand. I said, dude, we got 30 minutes. Give me a slide. Give me something that I can project because we did not plan on there being a projector available. And in retrospect, we'll talk about what I would do differently a little bit later. But this was, I want to have something on the screen right now. So I got Steven and he said, look, Steven, we need to show something from the network. So he gave me a slide that promoted the network and we had that available up there. So it was great both before, during, and after the presentation. So that's a little example of having a little reach back and how that could help you. Now, I didn't have anything just off the top of my head. I could have put just the Gunna Geek symbol that we do on the video shows up there, but I wanted something a little bit better to promote the network, and Steven put that together. So that was great. And that was up there. So it made us look more professional by having that up there as well.
And I think that that's something that a lot of times people discount a little bit is they end up in a situation that, you know, they've got a group of people who would all love to go, but some of them can't. It can be super helpful to have somebody quote unquote at home base if this comes up. And that happened last year with C2E2 as well, is it was helpful to have somebody there to reach out and do a couple of things. So that can be very helpful as well. And remember, you're part of a community. Feel free to reach out. You know, we talked about those podcast Facebook groups. If you've got enough notice, someone might help you out. If you want your post, hey, I'm about to run an event. I've got 2 hours and this is what I need. Anybody able to help me out? Someone might be around their computer and willing to do it. So feel free to reach out to people like SP did.
Yeah, it would work in certain events and certain locations. There were like YouTube presenters that were there that were giving tips on how to grow your YouTube channel. And everybody had some gear with them of some sort. So the panel went great. But then I was thinking, you know what? We can make this even better because not only do we have a projection screen, but we have a room sound system. So here's what I did. I went back to my room as I was uploading the files for Steven, and I said, what can I know exactly what to do. And I didn't tell Steven. So the next day we start the panel. And if you're a member of the Gunna Geek Network or a part of the Gunna Geek Network, we did a very special episode of the GunnaGeek.com show just a few weeks ago. It was episode 185. It was called Gunna Gleek. It was based on a crossover between superhero shows, and it was had foundation and some of the actors were part of the show Glee about Drama Club and Glee Club a few years ago. It's not on the air anymore, but it was a crossover based on that. And so Steven did a lot of great things. We were able to integrate that video into the production of the panel. And for those that aren't aware of like Comic-Con panels, whether it's San Diego or somewhere else, if you're actually a content provider, you create content, a lot of times they'll show a little clip, a little trailer of what's going on. So that's exactly what I did. It accentuated what we were talking about, creative and involved co-hosts, and it was fun for everybody, and it made everybody laugh, which was great. It started off the panel great. So while this is playing, by the way, this is a little behind the scenes. While this is playing, I take a picture of my computer that's playing it. So I'm in the crowd in the background, and I send the picture to Steven and I said, sorry, buddy. And he knew exactly what I was doing.
And this is something that I think we should take a moment to linger on and talk about. And I think it's important to really highlight that you decided this for on day 2 of 3. You'd already done one panel. And what you did was you kind of read the room of the first day and thought about what might you be able to change. And I think that that was very important to adapt in this event, because we talked about it last week, is that you are sitting there and everything that you do is essentially a walking advertisement, a walking representation of your podcast. And you want to make sure that you are doing things the way that you want to be represented. And that's what SP did, was he took a moment and he broke his format. And Michelle, I should include Michelle on this. SP and Michelle decided to do this and decided that this would be a worthy change. And so you made that change on the fly. And I think it's very important when you're in these high pace settings to be flexible and really adapt as you find necessary.
Yeah, none of this was done by SP alone. Matter of fact, Michelle was actually in charge of everything. I just brought her this as an option. She's like, yeah, we need to run with it. So we did. And it was great. And the room, the panels on Saturday and Sunday, they really enjoyed it. I'm glad I actually pulled that together, did some video editing on my laptop, which is important to have a laptop with you that can do some at least rudimentary production stuff. And it worked great. Now, we did actually change what we were discussing. We didn't stay to our script based on the questions that were being asked on Friday and then some pre-panel discussions that were happening through the room. One of the great things about Indiana Comic Con is they gave 30 minutes in between panel sessions, which gave a lot of time for setup, a lot of time for teardown, but it also allowed a lot of interaction in that 10, 15 minutes right before the panel that you can go one-on-one with the audience or stay up at the table and start asking the room, where are you guys coming from? What is your interest? What is your experience level? That was key in actually creating our content differently than we had pre-planned based on who was in the room.
Yeah, that's awesome. The other interesting thing that I thought was very fascinating was that you forgot about water essentially when you ended up getting there, right?
So a lot of cons, what they will do is they will actually give you water and have water available or some sort of drink available at the panel tables. And Indiana Comic Con usually did. The panel right before us, though, and there is a big stack of little mini water bottles on the table. The panel right before us, they actually took all the water bottles, and it wasn't restocked in between the panel right before us. We were the second panel of the day in that room. So the panel right before us took everything. So we're sitting there. We didn't have any water, which we were able to get through. But then for the other two sessions that we had, we made sure we brought water, and I will always make sure that I have a bottle of water in my backpack with my gear that's, you know, on one of the side pockets. I will always do that before a panel, whether I use it or not. I don't care. You know, I'm not a stickler of what kind of water I have, but I just want to make sure that I have that available so that I can rehydrate as I go. Cause I need to hydrate during an entire hour of talking. It happens at work. It happens during podcasts, and it definitely happens during these live convention events. Another thing that we changed game day between Friday and Saturday is I use two older iPhones, an iPhone 5S and iPhone 4S, to help capture the video of the room so we could get multiple shots. I was lucky on Friday. They actually lasted through the session, but they were both on below 10%.
Wow.
one was like at 3% and said, I'm shutting down when I went to push the stop button. So I don't know if it would have recovered that video or not. I haven't been in that situation where I've literally run an iPhone out of battery. I don't know if it continues to save the video or not, but what happened is I actually had a couple of those really big USB battery bricks, like 16,000 milliamps. I think the other one is 20,000 milliamps. And I attached one to each one of the phones. And I had long enough lightning cables that I was, or short enough in one case and long enough in one case that I was able to keep them going. And so I didn't have to worry about that anymore. So I just set it up, let them run. So that was another game day thing. So some technical, some content, and some just flow of how we dealt with people. And it was a great experience, by the way. We had a lot of people come. Some people came to all three panels, and then we had new people at every single panel as well. So that was one of the concerns going into this. Well, should we just do one panel or should we do multiple panels? They gave us the option to do multiple. We put down multiple. They scheduled us for multiple. And it, for those of you that don't know how a Comic-Con works, Indiana Comic-Con is a relatively new Comic-Con, like 4 or 5 years old. It is incredibly stacked with kids, like 12-year-old kids and under, because they get in for free. And there's a ton of cosplay, and there's a main show floor room where you can buy comics or geeky stuff or stuff like it's the showroom floor, and everybody rushes to get in there. I had a chance to walk through there. I saw some very famous people, so it was pretty cool to say hi. And then there's about 10 or 15 different panel rooms outside that main hall, and they're always scheduled all the time the con is going, and we happen to be part of that schedule. Not everybody got multiple days or wanted multiple days. We were one of the few that went all 3 days. So that was cool. And then there is also, when the main stars of the panel comes in, there's just this huge room that seated thousands of people. And that is where the big stars or the big presentations of the panel or the convention were. So we were in one of those rooms that were in between the panel floor and the big auditorium. So people are going back and forth. It's high traffic area. So we got a lot of people. I saw them. They were reading the sign on the panel door, and then they came in once they saw what it was about. So it's pretty cool. We not only got people that wanted to be there, but we got walk-bys as well that came in.
Well, if someone walks into a room and they see my face on a projector, why would they turn away?
Yeah, I mean, there's that, but you see, actually, it was the singing, it was the laughter and everything. We actually got people that ran the con that ran into our room, and they were laughing the entire time. And these are the people that actually run the schedule, that actually pull you off the stage, and the people that are interviewing the main stars. They actually walked by and they saw this Saturday and Sunday, and they sat down and they watched both of our intro and our outro, because I did an outro as well. It's the end of the Gonna Gleek 185 episode, which is starred, by the way, Steven's wife. So that got the biggest laugh of all of them, actually.
That's awesome. Okay, so it sounds like you did a lot. You learned a lot from C2E2 SP. It sounds like you executed on that. And it sounds like on the fly, Michelle was there to save the day and tell you how to fix things. So if you were to do another panel, another similar convention event, what might you change for next time?
Actually, every time I've done this, I've learned a little bit more on what to do and what not to do. Now, every situation is different, from the audiovisual to the people that are there to what you actually have said that you're going to talk about. Because we had a theme that we had signed up to do, and we felt we would be cheating people that wanted to come talk about co-hosting, which was our theme, if we didn't talk about it. So we made sure we hit that on every one of our panels. But one thing that I would do, and we did a great job of that at C2E2 last year, and we might have been able to do a better job of promoting outside of our network next year, or next panel. That's what we'll be doing, is we'll be promoting extensively outside of our network, just to make sure the word gets out in podcasting circles, because we talk about podcasting. That's what our panel is. So it's going to get out into more podcasting forums and other podcasts that talk general stuff about podcasting industry. We'll make sure that they know about it as well. So that is one thing that I'm going to make sure happens next time that we didn't do such a great job of this time. Another thing that Steven will actually definitely agree to is, if possible, just because of the vast amount of stuff that I brought to capture the panel, I need a roadie. I need a producer. Yes, we're podcasters and we could do this by ourselves, but having a roadie or somebody that's available to break down the gear even afterwards while you're talking to everybody that have just seen an amazing panel and want more information from you, while you have a limited time in that room to get your butt out of there, otherwise the con is not going to ever invite you back, that is important to do.
And that's super important, because I've heard a couple of different stories about this, and what happens is people want to talk to you after. You're the one that's there, right? Like, it sounds a little bit pompous and arrogant, but it's true. You're the one that's been talking to them for a half hour or whatever, and they want to talk a little bit more with you. And now you either have to have somebody else who's on the panel go and take things down, or you've got to hope that you're going to be able to just pick it all up and move it out in some cartoon fashion, and that's never going to happen. So I think that that's a great tip, is if you can bring a roadie. And no, we're not talking about roadie from the Iron Man series. No, that's not what we're talking about at all. But hey, if he wants to come along, why not, right?
Yeah. I'm all for roadie, especially since he's recovering from his back injury. Yeah. For those of you that don't know, we're talking about an Avengers movie there. So Marvel Comics, hoorah. If you want to learn more about that, go to legendsofshield.com. all in the Gonna Geek Network. But that is something that was important to have that roadie or to have that producer. I've seen live podcasting events before, and I would always recommend if you're doing a live podcasting event, make sure you bring somebody that's capable of producing. Maybe it's a second or third host, but that is what they are dedicated to do, is do the producing while you're interacting with the crowd. And you can bring that producer in when they're not so busy trying to make sure the stream is right, the audio levels are right, the cameras are recording, and then the setup and breakdown happens. So that is a big lesson. It wasn't possible this time, but if at all possible, and this is again what it comes down to, what Steven said, you know, ask for help at the convention. If you find yourself like your co-host, they cancel on you, like the kids are sick or they get a car wreck or something like that, ask for help. Odds are you're going to get it from somebody, because there were experienced podcasters that were there and they would have definitely helped out. Here's another issue, by the way, that I'm just going to be prepared for in the future, because when we did C2E2, everything ran like clockwork. In this case, Friday night pretty much ran like clockwork. The water situation wasn't exactly clockwork, but everything else ran like clockwork. What didn't run like clockwork on Saturday and Sunday was the room audiovisual system. Everything broke. As a matter of fact, if I hadn't done Friday's panel, I'd be like, well, this isn't going to work. And I would have pressed without it. But I knew the capability was there. I knew we had the presentation capability on the screen. I knew we could actually plug into the room audio and record that as a separate track on the H6. I knew all that. And it just wasn't working. I had to get it working. Now, in some places, let me warn you, some places it is unionized and they will cut off your hands if you touch that audiovisual stuff. In this particular case, though, the main audiovisual guy, he was actually helping out other people that had problems, because, like I said, there was 15 panels all happening at the same time. He walked by in the middle of like the videos, and he just gave me a bit. He was smiling and gave me a thumbs up, because he knew that I had to piece that puppy back together both times. So he was like, yeah, you go, girl, or whatever in this case. And just be, here's the lesson, be prepared to be your own tech support if need be.
That's all right. It's yeah. so true. And that comes up so much when you run events. I used to run, back in the day, I used to help run LAN parties. You remember those things? Wow, 1998 called, they want your party back. And yes, there was always problems there. You know, a professional electrical board was made and we'd run into problems there. You know, we would plan to have a section that you could have food with certain kitchen appliances and they weren't there. So it always seems to come up there. So just be prepared for that. Now, SP, last episode we talked, last week we talked all about how you should have business cards on you, right? So I'm assuming nothing went wrong at all in the way of business cards for you, right?
Actually, not much. I had enough business cards available for the presentations because, well, I have a box of a gazillion of them, and I brought them with me. So at the panels, it was okay. Saturday morning, this is the weird stuff that happens. Saturday morning, I get up early and I go to a restaurant that's nearby the convention center, because I know that I'm not going to have a chance to eat for hours. So I want to build up in the morning. I know some people eat breakfast, some people don't. Some people can take little bars with them. I actually had bars, but I needed breakfast because I knew I was going to eat until later that afternoon based on what we're doing with the panel, what I need to do with the gear, everything. So I go to this restaurant, nice little restaurant, and I order a nice breakfast. I have a great breakfast. Here's the thing. I was dressed for the panel. I had my Gonna Geek shirt on, and the wait staff asked me, so what is that t-shirt? I said, it's Gonna Geek. It's a podcast network. I'm the vice president of network development. I'm here to do a panel at the comic. Ooh, you're a podcaster. I said, yeah, I'm a podcaster and we have a great network of podcasts. I said, is that your network there, Gonna Geek? I said, yeah, that's my network there, Gonna Geek. Ooh. Do you have a business card? I really want to listen to your podcast. And these people were serious. And I was like, oh, sure. And I went in my pocket and I forgot. I left it on the table in the hotel room. I didn't have it. I was, didn't have business cards with me at an event where I was wearing my gear. I will never do that again. I will always have business cards with me. I'll tell you what I did. Sunday morning, I went back to that restaurant, and it was going to storm, like really bad Sunday morning. I made sure I got there early in the morning, and some of the wait staff was there from the previous day, and they said, oh, he's back, and look, he's got another shirt on. What, you need to give me a business card so I can listen to your podcast. I said, here you go. Here. And by the way, the other people that wanted it yesterday, here you go. So they actually want it. I can only assume that they are listening to this now. So, hey, guys from Indiana, how you doing? Really appreciate you listening to the podcast.
That's such a good story, because it's just like, it shows how it's so outside of the box. All you're trying to do is get some grub, and what ends up happening? You end up getting accosted for your card. So no, that's awesome. So be prepared on that there. The other thing that I thought was pretty interesting was I got a message from Stargate Pioneer saying, there's a very loud, boomy voice next door. And apparently, yes, in the hall that they were provided, there was noise coming from the convention, the panel next door, and it was very, very loud.
Yeah, here's what happened. I had to actually go to their panel room and look at the schedule to see what the heck was going on over there, because there was just this big male booming voice that was very excited, very loud, and went on for a half of our panel, because they overlapped our panel by half. I was like, what the heck are they doing ruining my audio? Which, by the way, is why I brought the Sennheiser MD46 microphones, because they're as super cardioed as you can get. If you get off access from them just a little bit, the sound goes dramatically down. The problem is the sound was everywhere. I mean, this guy's voice was just booming. So there's definitely going to be part of that in the recording, which is fine because we're in a live environment and it's ambiance. But I went over to see what he was doing. It was a live D&D play all 3 days that was scheduled right at the same time as ours, all 3 days. I was like, oh man, somebody was really into playing their Dungeons and Dragons, but you had to be prepared for that. So what I would do next time is, of course, I will continue to bring the gear that I bought for this specific situation, but I'll also ask the organizer if there's any way you could put me in a quieter environment without removing me from the main hallway. That would be great. Like, put me next to, I don't know, there was actually a panel on corsets. So put me in the panel next to the corset panel.
Then you would have been the loud, obnoxious guy.
Exactly. I would have been. And they were right after us, too. And they were chatty as all get out. They're like, oh, you guys do a podcast? They were actually talking to, and they were the ones that were saying, hey, you need to bring a roadie. I was like, yeah, you're right. I do need to bring a roadie. You want in on that? And I'm like, I can't do anything. I'm in a corset. So that's what, I mean, you know, corsets, you know, the things that make your waist like 10 times smaller than what it really is.
I'm wearing one right now, SP.
I don't doubt it. I want to see pictures, or it didn't happen.
All right. So wrapping up here with your learning, you had one other thing that you thought was pretty interesting.
Yeah, definitely. When you sign up for an event, make sure you check all of your calendars. This happened to be a holiday weekend, and it actually probably affected the attendance at the con in general. And probably there were some people that wanted to get to us that couldn't have. So we're going to make sure that when we do these events, we don't overlap holidays because, well, people want to be with their friends or families during holidays and they don't necessarily want to be in a room with a lot of other, in a trade show, basically. They want to do what they do on holidays. So definitely do that. Just really quick, a couple other things that I would do is I would make sure that I would have a flag or network flag on my camera rig. I got a lot of comments about that because I took some video of the con in general and people started asking me questions not only of the gear, but why I was doing it. And they were interested and I gave them business cards because they were like, where can I see this? Oh, here you go. And actually, one of the guys followed me right away a few minutes later, and I got several different follows on social media after that. And then finally, the last thing I will recommend is whenever you do this intense, high tempo sort of event, make sure you schedule downtime beforehand so you have enough time to pack. Make sure you schedule downtime afterwards so you can have some time to wind down before you transition back into your normal life. And make sure you schedule some downtime at the event if possible. It's not always possible, because if you're doing multiple days, it'll keep you better prepared and better rested for the next day.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much for all of that honesty, SP, because let's be honest, You see what I did there? You ended up in a situation that you could have changed some things, and you had to think on your feet. And it's just nice that you were willing to share that with everybody.
Yeah, you bet. Anytime. That's what we're here for. Better podcasting, to share great podcasting tips.
All right. Speaking of great podcasting things, let's move on into our download.
Welcome to this week's Better Podcasting Download.
This week in our Better Podcasting Download, we want to tell you about a major change, one that you may have heard already about, but maybe you haven't, that is coming in the world of podcastery. That's right. For so long, you have heard about how you gotta get your podcast in iTunes. It's important. It's gotta be in iTunes. Number one thing is get your podcast in iTunes. Well, gotta tell you that unfortunately, you can no longer get your podcast in iTunes because Android has bought iTunes. No, that's not true at all. That's not true at all. What it is Apple is going through a rebranding of iTunes. That's right. You will now get familiar with the term Apple Podcasts. That's right. Apple Podcasts. Hear that S on the end of there? Because that is the way that they are going. Now, so far, this is appearing to only be a branding change, but there are a couple of important notes with that. Number one, this is a great thing in a lot of ways because it shows that Apple is not forgetting about what was iTunes. A lot of people talked about how Apple had forgot about iTunes. Well, you don't go through a major branding change and start something called Apple Podcasts and not put focus on their product. So that's great to see that they are doing that. This is also in line with the same brand as Apple Music. Now, obviously, you've heard about Apple Music before. You've probably heard the term, and that's where they're going with this here. There are also new icons available that you can check out at geeks.link/Apple Podcasts. That will take you over to the new Apple page about Apple Podcasts. That's geeks.link/Apple Podcasts, because there are new branding pieces of branding that you want to know about, which talk about how you can listen on Apple Podcasts. And we want to just make sure that we highlight that, because I don't know if you ever saw this when it was back in the day, it was called iTunes. And back in the day, you would see a plethora. Can I use that? Is it okay to use that?
Back in the day, you're talking about a week ago.
Hey, this content is timeless, so one day this will make sense. But no, there was not real standard branding out there early on. You know, some people kind of adopted things early on, but because of that, there was quite a plethora of different ways that people would advertise their podcast being in iTunes. I know I've been podcasting for a long time, and I know that I went through several different handmade iterations that kind of tried to show that it was in Apple, and you know, I'm sure it was probably not authorized, but you know, that was what we had to do. That was what we had to do back in the day. And so, see, now that's the proper use of back in the day. But now they are providing you some different information that you can find at geeks.link/Apple Podcasts, and there are definitely things that you can use. Now, SP has compiled some mistakes that you want to avoid.
Yes, avoid these mistakes. This is directly from the Apple page, which can be found at the geeks.link/Apple Podcasts. Number one, do not let the Apple Podcasts badge dominate your layout as the primary message or the main graphic. It should support your content, main message, and product or company identity. So it's a secondary thing. It's your content, and they just want to say, hey, it's available over here. Number two, do not obstruct the badge with text, graphics, violators, or images. So basically, we want our graphic left alone. Number three, do not use the Apple logo. Dun, dun, dun. I sense copyright infringement lawsuits there. Number four, do not rotate, tilt, or animate the badge. And I would actually, like the paperclip, I would like to see an animated Apple Podcast badge personally. But so just my hint to Apple, That would be cool. Okay, number five. Do not add visual effects to the artwork, such as shadows or glows. So don't spice up what we got. Number six, do not alter the artwork in any way. So if the before mentioned didn't really give you the hint, this is your hint. Number seven, do not use graphics or images from Apple's website. Eight, do not imitate Apple communications or Apple's graphic style and typology. Typography? How do you say that, Stephen? I don't know.
Typography is what I say.
Yeah, there you go. Because we all know that Stephen knows how to say English really good.
I speak good English.
The next one is, do not use the Apple logo alone on any communication. Once again, it is not your brand. You need to highlight your brand and just say it's available on our brand. And the last one is, do not create your own Apple Podcasts icon or alter the official icon artwork, which I'm wondering how that is different than do not alter the artwork in any way. But I guess it's legalese. They just want to make sure. Don't touch your stuff, but put our stuff on your website as secondary content. So that's a lot of do's and don'ts. They are available on the Apple website at thegeeks.link/Apple Podcasts. I would encourage you to check that out, especially if you're going to use their stuff, because you don't want them to say, hey, take our stuff down, because Apple Podcasts are by statistics 70% of your average audience for podcasts.
And I gotta say, I like this, because this shows that, for number one, it's refreshing some content. It's nice to have some fresh images out there. But two, I like the standardization. I know people are like, wow, that is a huge bill to meet. But I think that it is great that they've got all these do nots, because I want to see standardization. I think that that's great, and I'm perfectly fine with that. Now, what does this mean to you as a hobby podcaster? Well, we talked about it at the very, very front of the show for so long. We have all been saying, please, if you like us, subscribe in iTunes and give us a 5-star review or whatever. And you have probably had all of your voice work recorded where you've talked about that. That's not valid anymore. So you're going to want to go ahead and shuffle that up. I know that myself. I have voice work that I need to get changed eventually. I've got other things that I got to work on first. But for now, I will be sitting there with out-of-date terms. The other thing as well is, I like this personally, and I think that this is important as a hobby podcaster, is that over the years, when I have told people, go subscribe to me in iTunes, people who were new to the podcasting world, like people who hadn't really listened to podcasts before, so many of them thought, well, it's iTunes. iTunes, I don't pay for music. I don't like it. I pay for a streaming service. I don't want to pay per download. And that's what they thought, was because I was in iTunes, they had to pay to get my show. Well, now I can say, go listen to me and subscribe to me in Apple Podcasts. And I think that that's going to be a much clearer direction for people, in my opinion. So that's something you want to know. And finally, it's just the overall awareness of this term, because you don't want to be the person that's sitting there and giving out old information and then your listeners can't find you. So just be aware of this change. Other than that, it's pretty much all the same. Like we said, mostly just a large branding change, but it does affect a lot of people.
And be prepared for some additional changes coming down the road, because Apple has demonstrated that they're interested in shaking this space up, and they're a big part of it. So just stay tuned, because you want to be in line with them as they make their changes.
All right. Well, that's going to go ahead and wrap up our download. Let's go ahead and move on into what you had to say this week. All right, there were things said. People used words, and they sent them in our direction. I can't use words myself. We actually had a Facebook message from Scott Smith, and he said, nice episode on conferences. I literally listened to your episode while I was packing for a podcast conference within my niche this weekend. Have you considered air travel with your podcasting equipment? Nobody wants to put their equipment in the checked bags because it could arrive late or you may never see it again. I've flown a couple of times with my Zoom H6, which looks a lot like a stun gun, in my carrying case with no problems. But what's okay with one airport security checkpoint might not be okay with another. So Here's the thing. SP has traveled with gear, so I'm going to largely let him field this. But what I would suggest is, you know, anytime you travel with anything, I would be prepared to be analyzed and asked what the equipment is. And this is my operation, not just with podcasting gear, just with anything that I ever travel with, is, you know, I might be talking to a person who has never, ever, ever used a piece of audio equipment in their life. And I'm always prepared to explain what it is that I am bringing with me. Now, specifically getting towards podcasting gear, SB has even recorded on a plane. That's right. He has recorded on a plane. So SB, field this question.
I did. So first of all, I traveled to Las Vegas with my entire gear a couple years ago in 2014. And one of the issues with that is I actually brought the mic stands with the hard, heavy metal bases. And those don't fare well when you're going through airport security checkpoints because they look like large metallic items that may or may not be something that explode. So you get analyzed when you bring those through. And part the weight was part of the reason why I changed. And the part of the reason why I was changed because I wanted to be able to be more flexible when I was going through airport security. I now use the new era. I think they're Hamilton. I'm not sure the brand off the top of my head anymore, but they're very flexible, tripod-ish sort of microphone stands right now. So that's one thing. As far as the bag comment, I do have a bag on order that is a hard shell and it's meant to transport audio or visual electronic equipment. It was not here as per this conference yet. And I went with a duffel roller bag and I made sure everything was in its original packaging so that, or the hard cases it came with in the case of the Sennheiser microphones and the Zoom recorders and stuff like that. So if you want to make sure that everything is safe, you definitely get little small hard cases for everything. It might actually expand the bag size you need, but it would be well worth it to make sure everything makes it to its destination as is. The other thing is taking everything actually on the plane versus checked in. There's going to be some stuff that you're going to have to check if you bring enough gear, but you should keep the most important things with you on board the plane itself so that you can operate with just that. So great questions and something that I've had to deal with. Both Steven and I have actually traveled with our gear back and forth to like work events and stuff like that. So it is possible. And it's more than possible. It's very doable. But just keep in mind, whatever you bring with you on your on the plane, you have to put on the seat underneath the seat in front of you or in the overhead bin. And with the baggage fees the way they are these days, there is none of that available. So you might end up actually checking the bag at the gate if necessary. So just keep that in mind that you might be separated from your gear at some point.
Thank you for that, SP. And thanks for that question, Scott. We also asked, do you create your podcast content for the long term, brackets evergreen, or does it have a short shelf life, brackets time sensitive? We had the one we just spoke about, Scott Smith, say definitely long term, as true today as when it was written. We had Diami Paloki say evergreen, woodworking lasts forever until there is no more world. Boom, mind blown.
Have you been watching too much Independence Day or something?
Always. I watch it every day. That's how I have to debrief from the show. We also had Kenneth say, evergreen is hard in the IT world, but we try to take a wider look at timely events and phenomena. These discussions are very interesting. So absolutely, that is something that IT is hard. I have been in that situation where I've talked about IT and things have changed like the next week. So I feel your pain there, Kenneth.
It's happened on this show.
It has. We also asked the question, what do you think of Apple's rebrand of iTunes to Apple Podcasts? How will it affect you? SP, what did Anthony Bachman say?
He said, I think every time they make a change to iTunes, it goes badly. And it takes them roughly 6 months. You patch each update they send out, which, yeah, that's with iTunes. Apple Podcasts, it hasn't changed anything with the technology or processes. So I think it will operate just the way it is until they make that change. I think that change is coming. It's just a matter of when. So keep up to date with that. And then at Joshua Liston also replied and he said, I like it. Apple more closely aligned their core brand with the word hashtag podcasting cannot be a bad thing. Thumbs up. Yep. I kind of tend to agree with that. And I also agree with Anthony. Just keep in line, keep your head up on what is going to actually change in the space. So finally, Stephen, we got an email this week.
It was a doozy.
And just stay with us, folks, because this is a very important announcement. So this is from Johnny Pennington. He says, dear quote unquote podcasting gurus. Well, thank you very much for calling us podcasting gurus. He said, you have discussed many times on Better Podcasting problems that have arisen with audio production between two different voices. These usually entail only having one local signal and a phone line, Skype, acoustics, microphones, background noises, etc. Both of you have come up with great ways to eliminate or reduce these problems. However, that is dealing with the quote unquote audio side of podcasting. I have a quote hypothetical unquote podcasting quote video unquote situation that I'm hoping the two of you can give me an answer or a remedy to. Let's say there is purely hypothetical video version of, shall we say, hobby podcast that normally uses split screen for the two hosts, and that they will often show one host only when emphasizing a pertinent point. They switch back and forth between each other and equally show both hosts at the same time. All this works well and looks good for most of their shows. Then, suddenly, one of the hosts shaves off his beard and mustache, leaving a glare so bright that it's like a large, bright spotlight was aimed directly at your face in the darkest of nights. Oh, the pain! Anyhow, it really is an enjoyable show. Again, this is only a hypothetical show, mind you, and I still would want to watch it. I thought I could try a few things on my own, like if you're stranded in the desert, they recommend that you cover your eyes with cloth, leather or some other material and just cut a straight slit in it to cut down the glare so that you could see. Oh, by the way, that also works if you're in a snow blizzard situation, and Steven should know that because he lives in an igloo. In that case, the quote now darker unquote co-host, I wouldn't be able to see. He'd now be too dark. I wear glasses and I have flip up on sunglasses, very fashionable, if I say myself, that I could convert to one side or the other being flipped up while the other side is flipped down. This, I believe, is pretty ingenious. I think I'll patent that. I mean, when the bright host is on, I'll flip down one of the sunglasses lenses. When it's split screen, I'll only have the glaring bright guy's sunglasses lens down. When the now darker guy is on by himself, I'll have both sunglasses lenses up. The biggest problem with that is my hands would probably get really tired with all these up and down flipping. Yeah, I know that. That gets pretty tired, doesn't it, Johnny? Anyway, plus it would be kind of difficult to write notes. So by now, you can see my dilemma. I thought with your vast audio and video podcasting knowledge, you and your millions of listeners could come up with a better podcasting solution. And as I fear for the health of my eyes, a few off-the-cuff solutions I additionally thought of. One, glaring bright guy needs to add makeup or get some sun to tone down the glare. Yeah, that's a decent idea. Number two, change the lighting on glaring bright guy. Yeah, that could happen too. Three, the other host shaves his beard, then relights both hosts. Yeah, that could happen, but both hosts are definitely have on bearded faces. That could work. Four, glaring bright host decides to embrace his seasonal allergies. I guess that's insinuating that the reason the bright co-host shaved was to alleviate seasonal allergies. Okay, that's kind of hitting close to home here. Anyhow, please come up with a solution for this hypothetical situation ASAP in case that it could ever really happen. Thanks for all you do, Johnny Pennington. P.S. Stephen and SP, I'm sure that you knew way before now that I'm just messing with you guys. I hope this brought a smile to y'all's faces, or at least a little bit of entertainment. My way of paying y'all back for the info and entertainment that you provide me. Thanks again, Johnny Pennington. Well, Johnny, just for you, we have figured out a solution to the problem.
Yes, we have, Johnny. We have figured out the problem. And for you audio listeners, you'll have to go to youtube.com/gunnageek to check it out because, you know, we're not going to talk about it. But with a little bit of creativity and a little bit of fun, you can definitely make your show more visually appealing to all of your video viewers. So please, that's youtube.com/gunnageek, or you can find us at twitter.com/betterpodcasting. But thank you, everybody, who did write us this week. It was a ton of fun. We had a lot of good times and a lot of information. And that is indeed wrapping up our arc on the convention event scene, if you're tying it into your podcast. So come back next week for another edition of Better Podcasting, starring Stargate Pioneer, of course, and we will have a fresh topic for you. And I should remind everybody that we are part of the Gunna Geek Network, which has a show called The Starling Tribune. And that's the show that Michelle Ealy is on with Stargate Pioneer. That's the Arrow podcast. So if you want to hear more from Michelle, and maybe we'll have her on the show in the future, you can definitely check that out on GunnaGeekNetwork.com. But that is the end of episode number 77 of Better Podcasting. I'm Stephen Jondrew saying the show just got a lot better.
And I'm Stargate Pioneer saying I love the fact that you finally got a pop filter for that Electro Voice RE320, Stephen. See you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Better Podcasting. We want to hear from you. You can find all of our contact information at betterpodcasting.com. If you like the show, please consider giving us a 5-star review in iTunes. We encourage you to check out all of the other geeky podcasts available at gunnageeknetwork.com. This has been a Gunna Geek production. Thanks for listening, and we will see you again next week.